Good evening, Baruchim Abayim Rabotai. Welcome to another edition of our Thursday night's class. Tonight's class is dedicated for the Refuah Shlema of Mori v'Rabbi, Rav Shlomo Zalman ben Chana Liba. The Refuah Shlema b'karov b'mera, Hashem should send his illnesses to Sonei Yisrael, and he should be happy and healthy. Ad mea ve'esrim. And you should all remember the name, Shlomo Zalman ben Chana Liba, and mention him in your Tehillim, and in your mitzvot and ma'asim tovim that you do, because he needs big, big rachmei shamayim. And just to put things in perspective, in a very shallow way, watered-down way, what Rav Akiva told his students when he came back after 24 years, and his wife, after not seeing him for 24 years, wanted to go see him, and a lady coming through all 24,000 students, it wasn't appropriate, they weren't letting her in, and they were, and then he realized it. So Chazal say that he told them that bring her right away, and he said a nusach, Sheli v'shelachem shelahu, everything that you have, meaning the Torah that I was able to teach, he told the students in the past 24 years, really is all her schut of her mesiut nefesh that she had, for all those years prior. And about Mori v'Rabbi Shlita, it's not 24, it's going to be 24 actually in a couple of more weeks. A couple of months. It's almost 24 years, 23 years straight that he's been by my side through thick and thin, and picked me out of the dumps as a young stupid teenager, and day by day taught me everything that I know. And Sheli v'Shelachem Shelohu, all the schuyot of all the years and everything that we've ever done is 100% his schut. And to see a Talmud Chacham like that, b'tzar, there's no way to describe the tzar that's involved in it. It's a very, very traumatic experience. Chazal teaches Gemara Brachot that the person who's able to pray for his friend and doesn't pray, the Gemara says he's called a sinner, and the Gemara says very harsh words. I don't even want to quote. And then the Gemara adds on, v'im Talmid Chachamu, if the person who's not well or is a Talmid Chacham, ra'ui she'echle atzmo alav. What should happen is, just from knowing that a Talmid Chacham is not feeling well, a person himself should become sick from it. That's what the Gemara says. That's how much we have to care when a Talmid Chacham is sick. Chavachome, when it's called a Rabba Muvak, my Rebbe, so ra'ui she'echle alav. It's a very serious thing. It's not a joke. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu should help that the Zechut of the Torah and the Zechut of the Rabbim and all the Zechuyot going forward, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not Mo'es B'Tfilatam Shel Rabbim, and we don't listen to what the doctors say. There's a very interesting Chatam Sofer, you should always remember this in every situation in life, that really you have to understand why you're allowed to go to a doctor at all. Hashem is the Rofei Chol Basar. Go to Hashem, he's the best doctor. You don't feel well, what do you go to the doctor for? Culture. Go to shul, put on tefillin, a girl say tefillin, I don't know what, and that's it. So the reason why we go to a doctor is because it's actually a mitzvah to go to a doctor. It's a mitzvah that we learn from a pasuk. The Gemara says in Baba Kama, the pasuk says, V'rapo yirapeh, mikan shenitan reshut larofe lerapot. We learn out of a pasuk that a doctor has permission to heal. Chatam Sofer writes in the Tshuva two very interesting things. He says, number one, a person has to know that when he chooses a doctor, if it's for something serious, he has to verify a lot of verifications and go to the best doctor that exists in the field. And he says it's not just because chovat ha'ishtadlut, that you have to make an effort. No, not only that. That's also, by the way, a good enough reason. But that's not the only reason. Tam Sofer adds on something interesting. He says that the bigger a doctor is, the more the Malach Raphael spends time with him. And he says, and really the doctor is just a messenger. He's not the one who's helping you. It's the Malach Raphael that's helping you. So you have to go to a big doctor like this. There should be a big Malach Raphael. This is what he says. I happen to have an interesting story about this. I once called an Indian doctor on a Friday afternoon. That was New Year's Eve. That weekend was New Year's Eve. And it was going to be New Year's Eve. I think actually Friday night was New Year's Eve, if I remember correctly, that year. And I needed him to perform an emergency surgery. Shnibadel chayim tovim on my brother, zichrono livracha. And the guy told me, are you crazy? We're all on vacation, New Year's. He says, your brother, I love you, I love your brother, I love everybody, I love all of mankind. But New Year's Eve, New Year's weekend, he says, forget about it. The second of all, there's no supporting staff either. He says, you know what type of people work New Year's Eve? All those kids that just got jobs, that have no choice and have to take the shifts. Anybody who's been around and who's a team that I want to work with is not going to work New Year's. So those are two reasons why I politely decline. I'm not coming in. We're talking about an hour before Shabbat maybe at that point. And I'm trying to convince him. And I'm offering him money, I'm offering this, I'm offering him that, all different things, trying to convince him, talking to him in a language that I thought would speak to him. And nothing worked. Zero. Not only that, the hospital that my brother was rushed into because of his condition then was a hospital that he's not even an affiliate with. So you would need special permission, they should be allowed to go in there. He never worked there, he doesn't want to work there. He didn't want to hear about it. Finally, I told him, what if I'm willing to sign that I understand all the risks involved and I understand that this is wrong to do and I want you to do it anyway? He said, why would you do such a stupid thing? So I told him, I don't know what your faith is, but I know what my faith is. And I told him this Chatam Sofer. And I said, honestly, doctor, I don't need you. I just need you in the room because I need the angel to come with you. So as long as you show up, the rest makes no difference to me. Now maybe that's not the smartest thing to tell a person when you want a favor. But this guy was one of these Indians who believes in all different things. I don't know what he believes in. But he believes in all these weird superstitions and stuff. And that's exactly what convinced him. I said, you're telling me that a big angel is going to come with me to the operating room? I said, the biggest angel. An angel that went to our forefathers. That went to Avraham Avinu. Is going to come with you into the surgery room. He said, I'll be there in an hour. He says, get me the approvals. You take care of the technical work. I don't even have secretaries to do it for me. I'll be there in an hour. We got everything arranged. And he came. And before he came, he made me sign my brother's life over, pretty much. And we did what we had to do, because al-pi halacha, at that moment, that was the right choice to make. And he told me the surgery is going to take somewhere between 3 and 6 hours. An hour and 20 minutes later, he came out. When he came out, my heart dropped to the floor instantly, because when you're told 3 to 6 hours, normally it's 6 to 12 hours, not an hour and 20 minutes. And he comes out with a big smile on his face. That calmed me down a drop. And I said, new doctor, what's the story? He said, he's fine. It was an unbelievable success. I said, wait a second, you told me 3 to 6 hours. You didn't want to do it in the first place. He said, I don't know what to tell you, but your angel held my hands the entire time. And this thing went so smooth that I didn't even need help from the stupid staff that was in the room. I told them all to bug off. I did what I had to do. We fixed the problem and he's perfectly fine. And an hour you can go see him, he's going to be okay. Don't worry about it. And in the specific area that he was trying to accomplish, that was an area that never, a lot of things that they operated on my brother later on came back until he ended up going to visit Hashem in Gan Eden. But that specific surgery, out of all his surgeries, was the most successful one by far. Unbelievable thing. This Chatam Sofer says that. Then the Chatam Sofer says the second thing, and that's really what I was leading to when it comes to this part of the discussion. And he says, the Gemara says, Mikan shenitan reshut larofe lerapot. A doctor has permission to heal. He says, lerapot nitan lo reshut. To heal, he has permission. Liyaesh, to make somebody give up, lo nitan lo reshut. He doesn't have permission. And then the Chatam Sofer writes the halacha. If there's ever a point that a doctor tells somebody there's nothing to do for you, he has to ignore him on the spot, because at that point he's not a doctor. Because the only permission he was given to be titled a doctor is to come up with ways to heal. But if he's not coming up with ways to heal and he's trying to make people give up, then it doesn't count. And we come to the Rebbeinu Shlomo and we say, there's a tzaddik who gave his life for Am Yisrael for years and years for free. We're talking about over 50 years. Never took a dollar from anybody for anything that he did for anybody, and everything in a hidden way. And so what the doctors say or don't say doesn't make a difference right now. The Rofei Chol Basar should send the Rebbe for Shlema B'mheir Be'ezrat Hashem, and we should be zochet to all attend the big Sudat Odaya to praise Hashem for the big nest that happened, that he feel, that he's back on his feet, and he should help Klal Yisrael Ad Biyad Goel B'mheira Amen V'amen. And now to our topic. So the topic was a little deceiving. It looked like we were going to go give some sort of motivational speaking class on how to be more higher performance in business. Sorry to break you the news. We're going to stick to that, but in a different way completely. We're going to try and think out of the box. And I want to give credit to where credit's due. A lot of what I'm going to say tonight is not mine. Well, nothing I'm going to say tonight is mine. But a lot of it I heard on a recording that somebody did me a favor, sent me today. It's not from this year. It's an older recording from a very, very famous rabbi in Israel that is loved by everybody and who speaks Hebrew. His name is Rav Baruch Rosenblum Shlita, who speaks at least once or twice a week. And he always comes up with brilliant stuff and material. And today, somebody sent me something, and I listened to part of it on the way here. And everything I was going to say went out the window, and what I took from him outweighs it by far. So I believe in giving credit and sources. And unfortunately, I don't have the memory that he has. So he quoted, even within the things, every quote exactly where it's from. Whatever I remember, I'll quote. Whatever I don't, I got from him, but he as well quoted. We want to talk about a few psukim scattered in the parasha, because the parasha is loaded. I have at home a two-volume sefer, not one, two-volume sefer, just on Parashat B'Shalach. And really, you could probably make a whole library just on Parashat B'Shalach. Every parasha is loaded, but this week, every few lines is another whole story. Unbelievable what goes on this week. But this, we're going to pick a little bit that I think maybe we could take something out of that should be a chizuk and a help and maybe help us grow a little bit. Paro sends Am Yisrael out of Mitzrayim, right? That's the way the Torah says. I don't know what type of sending that is. He came chasing them afterwards, but I guess he also had like a borderline personality disorder. 1 minute this, the next time that. Each time he did something else. And so on, the Pasuk says. Then it says, Hashem took Am Yisrael derech HaMidbar, v'chamushim alu b'nei Yisrael meretz Mitzrayim. Chamushim can either mean that they went up armed or something along those lines. But Chazal say, no, echad mi'chamisha. Then only 20% of the Jews came out of Egypt. The rest died in Makat Choshech. We don't like talking about tragic stories, so that's not our subject. Then the Torah continues and says another, the next pasuk, and this is going to be the foundation of whatever we'll get to speak about the parasha. Vayikach Moshe took et atzmot Yosef imo, the bones of Yosef, and it was a complicated thing to get the bones of Yosef. Why? Because Yaakov Avinu, when he was in Egypt, even brought blessing to Egypt. And even after he died, until they left, they took his body out of Egypt because of the promise that Yosef made Yaakov to bury him in Maat Machpelah, it still brought blessing to Egypt. So when Yosef died, the Egyptians figured that this is going to be their kamea. It's going to help them. It's going to bless them. So he left. They wanted Yosef to stay in Egypt. So what did they do? They, Chazal teach us, the Mechilta also clearly, that they took Yosef's body, bones, whatever, they preserved them in a certain way, they put him in something, and they threw it into the Nile River. It's like, this is part of Egypt, and there's no access, you can't reach it. It went to the bottom of the ocean. It's before the days of submarines. And now the years go by, and the Jews are going to come out of Egypt. And Yosef and Moshe Rabbeinu had to get Yosef's bones out. And so we're going to explain why. And we got to get it out. So they wrote what's called a kamea, technically said alishu, and they threw it into the water, and the bones floated up, and that's how Yosef was able to get the bones. It was a nes on its own. And like this, they were able to begin the process of taking the bones of Yosef out of Mitzrayim. Why? Ki ashbeya hishbiya et b'nei Yisrael leimo, because Yosef HaTzadik made b'nei Yisrael swear, Pakod yifkod elokim etchem, when the day is going to come that God takes you out of Egypt, ve'ha'alitem et atzmotai mize itchem, and you shall bring up my bones from here with you. Yosef made a Am Yisrael promise. So let's look at promises of bringing up bones and analyze and see what goes on. Let's go back a second to Parashat Vayechi and see what it says. So the beginning of Parashat Vayechi, we have a similar story with Yaakov and Yosef, right? Over there it says, ויקרבו ימי ישראל למות, and ישראל, יעקב אבינו was getting close to the dying, ויקרא לבנו ליוסף, he called יוסף, ויאמר לו, אם לא מצאתי חן בעיניך, סימנה ידך תחת ירחי, meaning to make a swear, to swear, ועשית עמי חסד ואמת, that's where the title חסד של אמת comes from, that's a favor that you get no return for, אל נא תקברני במצרים, I don't want to be buried in Egypt, ושכבתי עם אבותיי, and I want to be buried in מערת המכפלה, ונסעתי במצרים וקברתי בקבורתם, and he promised him to do it. So there was a singular promise of Yaakov Avinu coming to one son, Yosef, not all his sons. But that's simple, why? Because Yosef was the ruler and he had the most power so he could get the job done. And tell him, promise me that you're going to take my bones up out of here, or my body out of here in Yaakov's case, and you're going to bury it in Israel, which is what he did. Then in Vayechi goes on to the whole stories, which is not... In Parashat Vayechi, we spoke about part of it. And all the way at the end of Vayechi, a similar thing happens, just in a little bit of a different way. There's a tiny variation. And we have to pay attention to this variation. Vayashba Yosef et b'nei Yisrael le'mor. Yosef went to the children of Israel, meaning to all of Am Yisrael, and he made them swear to him. Pakod yifkod Elohim etchem, והעליתם את עצמותיי מזה. When God goes and is going to redeem you from Egypt one day, you'll take my bones out of here with you. וימות יוסף, and he died at 120. And the question that screams over here, which the Mefarshim ask, is Yaakov Avinu, when he wanted to get a promise that somebody's going to take care of him, he went to one person, his son. The most rational person to go to, and he picked the son that was most powerful. Yosef also had sons. Why did Yosef go El Bnei Yisrael, to the general population of Am Yisrael? Why didn't he go to Ephraim and Asher? Should have went to Ephraim and Asher and said, whether it's you that gets out of here, your children, or your great-grandchildren, whatever, they shouldn't remember grandpa, and they should make sure that they don't leave Egypt without me. And he should have learned that from his father. His father made him promise. He should make his sons promise. That would be the logical thing to do. Yosef goes and makes the whole Am Yisrael commit. Yaakov only takes Yosef to commit. Why the difference? It's an interesting question. We're going to try and build a puzzle and hopefully at one point get back to end off with an answer to this. I want to go on. Skip a whole lot in the parasha. Am Yisrael is Yitziat Mitzrayim, Nisim, Shirat, Shirah of Am Yisrael, Az Yashir Moshe. Another Shira afterwards of the women, Betupim uBemcholot, they even brought a band along, they did it. Moshe Feinstein and Divya Pes Moshe brings down that it wasn't random that the men decided to sing, it doesn't, the Chorah without music, and the women sang with music. He says there was a problem with Kol Isha, you're not allowed to hear a lady sing. So they brought Tupim, drums, to make loud noises, so the men shouldn't be able to hear their voices. It was Mishum Darkiat Tzniut. That's why it was done that way. Moshe writes that. And probably it's sourced much before. I don't remember the sources that Moshe brings. But anyway, and then, Jews like complaining, unfortunately. And Hashem doesn't like when Jews complain, but Lema said, Jews like complaining. And there are all different incidents that go on. Incident one, they have an issue with water. They couldn't drink water because it was bitter. Because Ruchu comes to Moshe Rabbeinu and tells him something. That seems to be the opposite of logic. If you have something that's bitter, and you can't drink it because it's bitter, but you don't have any other liquid and you want to make it sweet. Let's say you like coffee, but you don't like coffee without sugar. So what do? You take something sweet, sugar, you put it in, and now you like the coffee. So if they have bitter water, so God should have told Moshe Rabbeinu, put sugar into the water. Or put some flavor into the water. What does Hashem tell him? Take a stick, which a stick is even more bitter, and stick the bitter into the bitter. And then they'll be able to drink the water. And what does Hashem say over there when he tells them that? What happens? There God tested the Jews and he also gave them certain mitzvot. Rashi explains what mitzvot then. And then Hashem continues. If you're going to listen to God and do the right thing, and you listen to the mitzvot, and you'll keep the entire Torah, כל המחלה ששמתי במצרים לא אשים עליך כי אני השם רופאך. Any illness that the Egyptians had, you'll never have, because I, God, am the one who heals you. By the way, in Kabbalah, there's a lot of kavanot in this pasuk that we learn Shemot HaKodesh in order to help people that are not well get healthy. What did Hashem tell Am Yisrael over here? So the Mefarshim say, in Seder Aruch, it's brought down in many other Sfarim as well, a very interesting thing. If you remember from the Agadah Shel Pesach, I know it was a long time ago, but Agadah Shel Pesach, most people remember. Then there's a machloket in the Agadah, how many makot were there in Mitzrayim and how many on the Yam, and they keep on trying to make the numbers bigger. They went from 10 makot, they go all the way up to 250, and they keep on elaborating on makot. And this is a big part of the Haggadah that we read. It takes up, a large space in the Haggadah. And it seems like, who cares? The job was done. The Egyptians were dead, the Jews got out, and we got the Torah. What does it make a difference if it was 10, 50, 200, 250? What does it make a difference what the number is? So instead of Aruch, he brings down, he says the answer is very simple. Because over here in the parasha it says, Kol ha-machala she-samti b'mitzrayim lo-asim alecha. It's only the troubles that they had in Egypt you won't have. So came the Tanaim, and they looked to create more and more makot that were in Egypt. Because like this, it would be an insurance policy for the Jews later on in history that they'll be at risk for less problems. Because any problem they had in Egypt, you won't be able to have. Very interesting pshat. Right? But then, if we didn't have enough trouble complaining about water, then they already went down to meat. Zachanu et hakishuim et habasar, right? We went from water to meat. But then HaKadosh Baruch Hu goes and he says to Moshe that he's going to give the man. The man is a big discussion in the Rishonim. What blessing did they make on the man? When you have food, so if it grows from the ground, if it grows from a tree, if it, depending what it's made from, what it is, there's different criteria in halacha and in chod barachot, what bracha you make on each thing. The man came from heaven and it tasted whatever you wanted it to taste like, whatever you thought, except for five things, it would taste like. So which blessing do you make on it? And there's a discussion in the Rishonim, believe it or not. The simplest answer is, they used to say a blessing, Amotzi lechem min hashamayim. The God that brings a form of food, bread, nutrition from heaven. That's the simplest. But there's a big diyun when you learn the sugyot b'achot, you'll see there's a big diyun really if at the point that it was something else, because that's what you were thinking about, maybe it should be something else. So Hashem gives them man. He gives them man and he tells them, I'm going to give you man every day of the week, but on Friday you're going to get double. Because on Shabbat, man won't come down. That's what he gives them. And that's why we do Lechem Mishneh. Zechel, that's one of the reasons. In memory of the man that came down double Friday, so two chalot to resemble, that's one of the reasons. By the way, it's brought down the poskim, it's not a halacha, it's a big, big chumrah. But in the Arizal, it's brought down to do. That we cover the chalot b'kiddush, right? Everybody covers the chalot b'kiddush, puts a cover on. That really brings down that not only should you cover it on top, you should also put a cover on the bottom. Why? So Rabbeinu Ari explains an interesting thing. He says, being that part of the inyan of the lechem mishneh on Friday night and Shabbat day is to resemble the man that was in the times of Yitziat Mitzrayim, after Yitziat Mitzrayim. So the man, if you look in the psukim, it says, it would come down and it would have a layer of dew below it and on top of it, meaning it was preserved. Hashem had natural refrigeration to preserve it for the amount of hours that was needed. So he said, so if it's Zechel Eman, there's an inyan to do Zechel Eman all the way, put something under it and put something on top of it. I think the reason why a big part of Am Yisrael is not makpid on this, even those who normally are makpid on things of the Ari, is because we all have challah boards and we consider that to be the bottom part. That could be a reason, I don't know. But I have seen by many Gdolei Yisrael, especially those who were Baalei Kabbalah in both the Sephardic and Ashkenaz world. And somebody recently told me that he ate by Maran HaRav Yashiv Zitzel Zechutei Hagen Aleinu on a Friday night, and he said he saw that as well by him, that they were noheg to put a napkin or something under the chalot and then to cover the chalot. But it's not a halacha, I'm just, because it came up, I'm mentioning it. No, this was the man story. Technically, this sounds like the dream financial situation to be in. Go to sleep at night, you have nothing to worry about. You wake up in the morning, and outside your door, you got everything. What could be better? Seems like the dream. And even on this, the Jews complained, by the way. But it seems like the dream. If you look later on, you go to Chumash Dvarim, to Parashat Ekev, where Moshe Rabbeinu really repeats the Torah and the history of the Jews, there's a pasuk there that makes it sound like that maybe the man wasn't such a big good dream. It might have actually had an element that's pretty close to a nightmare. There's a pasuk in Perek Chet in Dvarim, pasuk Gimel, that it says over there, Vaya'ancha, vaya'ivecha, vaya'achilcha et aman asher lo yadata v'lo yadu avotecha. You hear this pasuk? Vaya'ancha, he afflicted you, and he let you hunger, and then he fed you the man that you didn't know what it was. If somebody left you outside your door every morning an envelope with 20,000 in cash, would you call that being suffering? I wouldn't. If you want to do it, I'll give you my address. Every morning, no problem. Except for Shabbat. So what? Hashem gave them everything they needed, straight by their door. Door-to-door service. So what's the affliction over here? What's the suffering? This was the biggest blessing that could possibly be. Second of all, he gave them all the food that they needed to the point that it was exactly what they needed and there was no waste in it. They didn't need to use the restroom, chutz mikvodchem, because the body was exactly what they needed, stayed in the body, and that's it. That's all they got. So what's vayarivecha? Why were they hungry? They were never hungry. They got the best nutrition plan from the best nutritionist possible, God Himself. And on that we say vayarivecha. So a great rabbi that we quote a lot from, Rabbi Yankala Galinsky, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, Zechuto Yagen Aleinu. Hey, what a tzaddik, how much he's missed. So he used to love saying this pshat over, he said it over many, many times. I was zochet to hear it myself a few times. But in all the svarim that's written from him today, and there's still more coming out, it's brought, because he used it in so many different contexts. He said a very interesting pshat. I don't know if he said it from himself or he brought it down from others, but this is what he said. He said, Chazal teach us that, where did the man come? Where was this, let's call it the envelope, where was this envelope placed? So Chazal teach us, it depends how righteous a person was. If a person was a tzaddik, and the day before he did everything 100%, so it came right to his doorstep. They opened his door, he took in the man, and he had breakfast. But if a person the day before had a fight with his wife, so he's not such a tzaddik anymore. So then it went 20 feet away from his house. What if he also fought with his three-year-old? Then he's an idiot. So it went 100 feet away from his house. And what if on top of that he also fought with God? So then he's a lost case almost, until he does tshuva. So it was a long walk to pick up the man. What does that mean? Yeah. That the man showed everybody what a person did the day before. Comes the pasuk and says, Moshe Rabbeinu told him, Vayancha, vayarivecha, vayachaycha et aman. Hashem gave you the biggest blessing in the world, man. But for some people it was a blessing. For some people it was the biggest curse. Because they had to pick either to starve what to embarrass themselves, that people should know that the situation is not so good. And they need to do tshuva. And it was the biggest chizuk also, because exactly like he said, for the next day, they knew that we can't play around. Yesh din v'yesh dayan. Kadosh Baruch Hu means what he's saying seriously. Where's the depth behind this pshat, but to take it a step further? It's a nice pshat, right? This is great. But take it a step further. The pasuk says, Yesh osher ha-shamu l'ba'alav l'ra'ato. There are many situations that people become wealthy and it's the worst thing for them. And let me tell you, I'm not going to get into this extreme stories and I'm not going to get into the Gilgulim and this and that, which are all true, by the way. But I don't know if all the stories are true, but the concepts, all that, I don't know. I don't have a story that I died and came back to life and this and that. I didn't, you know. From what I remember, so far I'm on my first life. This one is great. We're going to see Mashiach alive and healthy, Be'ezrat Hashem, and there won't be need for more lives. But I'm talking about in life itself. Here's the easiest example, Yesh Osher HaShamu L'Ba'alav L'Ra'ato. And I'm sure within the room alone, many of us know people like that. There's a guy or a girl, young people, nice people, friendly, have a good social life, have a good life in general, and that. And they went to school, or didn't go to school, it makes no difference. And then they had a good business idea, whatever it was, and they became rich quickly. On one hand, it's a great blessing, because Baruch Hu blessed the guy with wealth. But what happens to a lot of these people? They become the most arrogant human beings alive a day after they make money. It's like a different person. It's an unbelievable thing, and we see this all the time. There's a famous parable, or I don't know if it's a story, but Ravai Zacharif said it over about himself as a story. Ravai Zacharif sometimes said things as a story that he really meant just as chizuk. So I can't tell you if it's a true story or Ravai Zal said it as a mashal. But in Ravai Zacharif's shul, there was a guy who was very poor, and Hashem turned around his mazel, and very, very quickly he went from poverty to great wealth. And so when he was poor, he would sit in the back of the shul, keep his mouth shut, you know, he wasn't, suddenly he had money, and he starts coming with demands. Why is the paroche this color? Why is this this? Why is this that? Every time a new demand he had. That's what happens when people go nuts when money hits them. No, the Gabbai had no choice, he had to put up with him because he became a big donor. And sometimes with donors you got to put up even though you shouldn't. And the rabbi, but didn't, you know, wasn't impressed by his money, so they kept a distance. One day the guy comes to the Gabbai and says, listen, I'm a rich man, I support this place. I think my seat should be the seat near the rabbi. Why am I sitting in the back? I want to sit up front. So the Gabbai had no choice. He went to the rabbi, he said, Mechila, this, that, but this is the man's, and he's supporting the shul. We can't lose him. Put him up front. Do you mind if I put him up front to sit near you? So the rabbi told him, I don't mind. We should put him up front starting on a Shabbat, not during the week. Fine. Tells the guy, the rabbi said, starting this Shabbat, you're sitting right near him. Friday night, the rabbi's praying, this guy's bored. In the back, at least, is who the shmooze with. Over in the front, who's, you know, there's nobody to talk to. He's hating it, but he's loving that people are looking at him. Wow, he's sitting up front. Babies. I told you many times, my uncle Zechet Tzadik Levacha gave me in a tzava. He says, no matter what great positions you have, always sit in the back. Don't look to be in the front. Always sit in the back. And Baruch Hashem, I had the zechut to stick to it. There's a lot of chokhmah in that. No. Prayer's over. Everybody comes to the rabbi, this one with a halacha question, this one with a Dvar Torah, this one with a this. He's an Amaretz, he doesn't know anything. That they have millions in the bank doesn't make you a Tamid Chacham. So he doesn't know. So he gives a hand to the rabbi. The rabbi gives him back a hand and he goes on his way. Comes home to his wife, and his wife was expecting him to be glowing, right? He got what he wanted, he's sitting up front. As he has a face of Chabav. She tells him, hey, you, what happened? You didn't sit up front? He says, I sat up front, but it was miserable. I was bored. And everybody's talking to the rabbi. I don't know anything. I got nothing to talk to the rabbi about. So she said, maybe learn something. I don't know. Find something to ask him. Ask him to teach you. He said, no, that's below my dignity. I'm not going to ask somebody to teach me. Chazal on a person like that says you're a shaita. That's a fool. Who's a fool? Somebody who doesn't want to learn from others. Everybody has something to teach you. You can learn from everybody and anything. Not only everybody, everything, every part of creation, there's something to learn from. Shacharit is even longer. Forget about it. For him, it was real Gehenom. And those were still days that they didn't sell Aliyot, so he couldn't even entertain himself with that. By Mincha, he was about to quit. He tells his wife, this is the last prayer. If I figure something out, a way to communicate with this rabbi, great. But if not, I'm going back to my old seat. I don't need this anymore. He's praying Mincha, and in Amidah he prays to God, God, give me something that a common conversation with the rabbi. I want to have a relationship with this rabbi. I want to talk to him. And Hashem answers prayers. He gave him something. He gave him a great life lesson. In Tzidkatcha, we say, Adamu Beimat Oshia Hashem. Hashem should give Yeshua to Adam, a person, who Beimat, and to the animals. He says, wait a second, it's not nice to say an animal and a person in the same sentence. Today, people don't understand that question at all because we tell people, you're behaving like an animal. I heard parents tell their own kids like that, why are you behaving like an animal? Part of the sickness, the tragedy of the generation. But when words still meant something, then people didn't say that. So he went to the rabbi after Mincha, and he tells him, Rabbi, you know, I have a big question, it's been bothering me. Of course, he made a big deal out of it for a long time, 3.5 seconds, long time. What is this, Adamu Beimat Oshia Hashem? Why would we put the person and an animal in the same, right near each other, side by side, like that, word for word? The rabbi said, honestly, ever since last night, Mincha, the same exact question was bothering me. And I think the only person in this shul that has the answer is the Gabbai. He'll tell you why they put that Be'ema near the Adam. Are you guys that slow? No, I didn't mean that in a negative way. Hashem really answered his davening. He sent him a message. What, so you made a few dollars, and so now it has to get to you? So now you have to sit up front, and so I have to make noise, and I have to... You know, my rule in life is, the emptier a can is, the more noise it makes. Use that as a rule straight across the board to assess people. Full people don't make a lot of noise. Empty people make all the noise in the world. It's true. Take a full can, drops, it makes a little bang, that's it. Take an empty can, bang, 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 it doesn't stop. A whole musical instrument comes out of it. What happened? Well, there's one benefit to that. That's how Chinese people pick the names of their kids. But you didn't know that? They roll a can down, ching, chong, 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 and then they come up with a name. But yeah, just because I don't want some leftist tomorrow cursing me out, so that wasn't personal against anybody. I'm not a racist, and everybody's amazing. And you could pick what you... Today I went with my son to the eye doctor. They gave me forms. And in the form, you have to fill out his name, his birthday, social security, insurance, this, that. One of the things that it says there is ethnic background. And they need that for medical reasons, because different people are more prone to different diseases, God forbid. And other things as well. And another one of the things that they put there is race and gender. Three basic criteria that you need in order to... It's just for medical assessment. And then I realized what the generation came to. By gender, it said male, female, other. And by the other ones, it said a couple of choices or prefer not to disclose. What's coming next? You know what I did? I checked off other and I wrote monkey. Nutcase. The doctor laughed and he said, what's this? I said, let me tell you what's this. I said, you guys believe in evolution. Not the doctor, one of the nurses. I said, you guys believe in evolution. So we come from monkeys, right? So monkey, that's the identity. I said, if you're so sick that we have to put other, then let's go along with your craziness. Anek silki valto. We'll go along with what makes you happy. If that's what makes you happy, let's go along with it. Sugar. That's what happens without Torah. I always tell the boys today, that sitting and learning today is not a matter of if you'll be a Talmid Chacham or Ma'aretz, which of course is the most important thing in life. It's a matter of if you stand a chance to be a normal human or not. That's what it narrows down to. It's not a luxury anymore. It's a necessity. It's just, at least there should be some seichel, something left. Something. A drop, something. Anyway. Nu. So the man had a good element, had a bad element. Wealth has a great element. It could do amazing things with money. But it could have a tragic element. It can get to a person's head. That's the easiest way. And from there, it goes downhill. He thinks he's invincible. And then on those people, Hashem shows them right away how quickly he could change that. That means in every blessing, there's also a curse. And in every curse, there's also a blessing. It goes both ways. Again, in every blessing, there's also a curse. And in every curse, there's also a blessing. Let me tell you, because we spoke about my Rabbi Hashem Sin and Fuash Lema, a curse that has a blessing in it. A curse that has a blessing in it. My Rebbe, when he was younger, was in Yeshivat Mir, learning with Chaim Shmulevitz, Harusa, and that. He didn't dream in his life to come to America ever. That wasn't on the list of things to do in any way, shape, or form. Not even by accident. How did he get to America many, many years ago for the first time? Very tragic story. He owned a small house that he got, and after a while, B'yayin Hara, the family grew. And there wasn't room even on the dining room floor anymore. So he had to move. Now he was lucky. His small house that he owned was in a very expensive neighborhood in Jerusalem. And then they were building what today is also a very expensive neighborhood in Jerusalem, but then it was considered a place that nobody wanted to live, a neighborhood called Ramot. So he sold his house and put down a deposit to buy a house in Ramot, but the houses were in the middle of being built. And he was going to go from a one bedroom to a four bedroom. That was like a dream of all dreams. Now, in the interim, he had money and he didn't want to put it in the bank. Why didn't he want to put it in the bank? Because then the banks, today there's a bank that has a special arrangement, not like that. But then the banks in Israel used to give interest no matter what. And he didn't want interest from an Israeli bank because it's malveh beribit, nechasav mitmodotim, it's cursed money. So he was looking for where to keep his money, not in a bank. Today they have something called Bank Ador, that's a special arrangement for Haredi Jews that they don't give you interest. Would you believe that people choose not to get interest? What a Kiddush Hashem. What a Kiddush Hashem. Deliberately choose. And I know all the stupid stories, Heter Iska, this, that. Nobody means Heter Iska. Stop fooling yourselves. But today they have that. But then they didn't have it. So he went and he put the money in a place that was a gemach of some sort that was considered a place that you could leave money till his house is going to be ready. La'aleinu v'la'alechem, we should never know. This person that owned the gemach wasn't so honest, and he ended up running off with a lot of money of a lot of people that deposited money by him. And this was the money of his house. And now the contractor says, buddy, the house is going to be ready in 2 months, and you have to make payments, and he doesn't have a dollar. It's gone. Everything's gone. They never caught that guy until today, by the way. Nobody knows what happened to him. And he went from a plan and a dream and an excitement of going and moving to a big house to zero, to nothing. And he didn't have where to get it from, and those were before the days of mortgages financing way above what you can afford, and it didn't exist. Now what? He went to his father, Zecher Tzadik Levecha, Avdim Ben Chaim Chaim, and asked his father what to do. And his father said, Hashem didn't take away your money. Hashem has a plan. Happens to be, in order to get the plan to work, he had to take away the money. So he said, what's the plan? He said, go to America and go collect money. Ask people to help you out. Why? He said, number one, it's a type of galut, it's a kapalat avonot, it's embarrassing, it's not comfortable, that. Shamayim, it does big things. But number two, you know how to help people. In Israel, you get a certain amount of people, but in America, they don't have people to help people. Talking about years ago. Today, well, Hashem, we have a little bit. So they need you, so go. And then his father told him these words. He said, go to America to help people. And if, by the way, people also give you money, okay, and if not, not. Because that's not the reason why you're going to America. You're going to help people. And that was the first time he came to America, and then for many years straight, he comes over this year, Lo'aleinu, he's not well, he was supposed to come Sunday, but due to his medical circumstances, he can't. But he comes to Bishvat every year for a month, and this has been going on for a lot of years. Over those, let's say, about 30 years since that quote-unquote tragedy, the American Jewry was blessed that one of the greatest Torah giants in the history of the world, somebody who Gdolei Yisrael said about him that from the days of the Baal Shem Tov, there was never anybody who loved Jews as much as him. That's a very scary statement to say. And he spends 6 weeks a year here. Otherwise, he would have never walked into America even by accident. He would have never let him. And America had the zchut to see what a real Adam Gadol is who helps Klal Yisrael with his whole heart for free, unconditionally, because of what seems to be a tragedy. So yeah, for him on a personal level, on the short term, it was a terrible tragedy. He had to come here and raise money, and it took him years and years to be able to pay off the house, and whatever. It caused him a lot of problem and pain in life. But he always tells me, all that pain is a joke in comparison to how many thousands of people I was able to help over the years that I was in America, and how many people were able to benefit from me. He said, if I had to do it all over again, I would ask Hashem to do the same thing to me. It's an amazing thing. And along those lines, in a separate note completely, a boy told me a cute story right before that somebody was with him in a fender bender this week. He was driving, a guy hit him in the... He said, nothing happened. He says, I have a scratch that's less than the size of a dime. He said, and the guy came out of the car and he was like all panicking and flustered and whatever. And he told him, I'll pay you whatever you want. And he had a thick accent. He couldn't, this guy wasn't so familiar with accents. He didn't know what accent he had. He said, I'll give you as much money as you want right now, cash, just don't call the police. He said, really, if he would have not said anything, he would have told the guy to go either way, like a scratch or a dime, for what? So he tells the guy, who are you? Like, what's your pressure about the police? You're a fugitive? I'm going to call the police. Like, who are you? And he said he was really trying to get him to talk more to figure out what his accent was. He says, as soon as he started talking, he didn't have to figure out. The guy told him who he was. He says, my name is so-and-so. I don't want to say a name because for obvious reasons. I'm an Israeli. And my license is an Israeli license, and really I got a ticket a while ago that gave me a certain amount of days to change the license to an American license, and I didn't do it yet. And now if the cops come now, I'm scared they're going to take away my license. I won't have not an Israeli license, not an American license. I'll be in a mess. I'm in the middle of my immigration case. It's going to cause me trouble. So I'll pay you gladly whatever you want. Just leave me alone. He says, first of all, why would I call a cop? He didn't do anything to you, to me. A little scratch. He said, but if I'm already talking to you, and you're an Israeli, and you say you live in an area that's about a mile away from my house, so I have a different plan. Instead of giving me money, I want some of your time. He's a smart man. He said, what does that mean? He said, tonight I'm going to Shiur Torah. That's what I'm on the way to right now. I want you to come with me. And the guy tells him, in what language? Because English, it's harder for me to understand. He says, in Hebrew. Took away his excuse right then and there. He said he was planning on going to his regular shiur. It was in English. He said he'll find the shiur in Hebrew. And he took him. He found some shiur that went on. It wasn't here. It was in Brooklyn. He had to go to Brooklyn. And they went together to Shiur Torah. I think he told me the story happened Monday. When he just told me now. But I think he said it happened Monday. And he says they became close. He says we talk on the phone probably 5-10 minutes every day. Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, whatever the past 3 days. And I invited him to my house for Shabbat, and he's coming. He said, who knows, maybe one day, Shomer Torah Mitzvot, it's going to come out of the fender bender. Somebody sometimes rear-ends you, and it's annoying, right? It's not pleasant. But in every curse, there's a blessing, there's a reason. HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't send something without a reason. And in this case, so he got a little scratch on his bumper. It's a segula against Ayin Hara anyway, not the end of the world. And who knows, maybe it'll be Mitzil Nefesh Achat B'Yisrael. And even if not, he already got a Jew to learn an hour of Torah. It was worth it for that alone. Priceless. Ashrayim Yisrael that they think that way. Okay, but now we got to figure out, so where are we going with this? Where are we going with this? So here's where we're going with this. Chas v'shalom, this is not my phone, it's my clock. You know that, I don't have a watch. I just repeat that every week. Mishum vihitem nekiim. Anyway, so we're going with this like this. Very briefly, because now that I realize the time, we have to expedite the rest. Am Yisrael have two sins, the Chazal say, that when Hashem gets upset at them, or when the Satan wants to come and cause the Jews trouble, he uses these two sins primarily as ammunition against the Jews. One of the sins is the sin of Mechirat Yosef, that the Shvatim sold Yosef HaTzadik, and the other sin is Chet HaEgel. I'm tonight not talking about Chet HaEgel. I'm tonight going to talk about Mechirat Yosef briefly, just to make one point. When does the Satan use Mechirat Yosef and when does he use Chet HaEgel? The Satan uses Mechirat Yosef when he wants to go accuse the Jews of doing Averot Shebein Adam L'Chavero, sins between man and man, and he uses Chet HaEgel when he wants, because Chet HaEgel resembles Avodah Zarah, when he wants to accuse the Jews of doing sins, Shebein Adam L'Makom, between man and God. Where did these sins come? Let's just, to make it shorter, just talk about the Bein Adam L'Chavero part. The sin of Mechirat Yosef. When we look in the Pasuk and see how it all started, I said it was the jealousy issue or whatever, but the actual sin. Let's look what's going on over here. It's a very interesting thing. The brothers didn't like the dreams. They didn't like, well, they had their reasons. We explained it in the Parashiyot over the years. And then one day Yaakov tells Yosef, go look for your brothers, right? See where they are in the fields. Ve'om Yisrael Yosef, alo achecha roim b'shchem, lechav eshalacha aleihem, ve'yom elo hineini. Ve'yom elo lech na re'ei et shlom achecha ve'et shlom atzon, ve'shivani davar. Yaakov Avinu sends Yosef to go look for his brothers and to see how they're doing and what's going on. And he sends him to the direction of Shechem. And he tells him, go to Shechem, come back and report to me what you saw, like to make sure they're okay. Vayimtza'eyu ish. And a person found him. V'inei toe basadeh, and he got lost. There wasn't ways back then. Vayishaleo ish lemo matvakesh. And the person asked him, what are you looking for? Vayomer et achay anochim vakesh. I'm looking for my brothers. Hagidana li eifohem roim. Tell me if you know where my brothers are. Where are they with the... They were shepherds. Where are they with the cattle? So I can go see my brothers. Vayomer ha'ish. The person said, really, I know who your brothers are. And they were here before. And here comes two keywords and one word that we're going to use. Nasu, they left here. They're not here anymore. And the next word in the pasuk, mize, from here. Kishamati omrim nelcha dotana. And I heard that they said, we're going to go to Dotan. Yaakov Avinu sends Yosef to go to Shechem. He goes to the direction of Shechem to look for his brothers, the rest of the Shiftei Kah, except for Binyamin. He doesn't find his brothers in the area of Shechem in the direction that he went. Finds the Ish, the person, and the Ish says, it's true, I know they are, they were here, but they left and they went to Dotana. We could have said the same exact thing and skipped one word. What does it have to say? Nasu mize, kishamati oin. Because nasu, they left, kishamati oin. Because I heard they said they're going to Dotana. The Torah sticks in one word, mize. And there's no extra word in the Torah. They left from here. Come to Mfarshim, right? The Achaim HaKadosh in this parasha and another place hints to it. What he told them was like this. Ze. The pasuk says mize, but we're talking about ze, which is the shorish of the word. And that, that's what goes on further, and so on. Zayin is 7. Hey, 5. 5 and 7 is 12. Nas'u mizeh. They left the concept of 12 brothers. They don't consider you a brother anymore. They left unity. There's no ben adam l'chavero. And he was really hinting to him, be careful. Right now it's a dangerous situation for you. Nas'u mizeh. They left here. Where was that zeh? Shechem. Who sold the brothers? Am Yisrael, the representatives of Am Yisrael, Shifteika, all the Shvatim. Who else was part of that sale? They used God as part of the Minyan, right? To make a Shvua that nobody's going to reveal where he is and so on. I'm not talking about why they did it in the Chet Mechirat Yosef and so on. But if that's the case, we understand very simple. When the Satan wants to come say something bad about Ben Adam L'Chavero, he uses Mechirat Yosef. Mechirat Yosef is the symbol of the sins of Ben Adam L'Chaviro. The symbol of the sins of Ben Adam L'Chaviro. Zeh. If that's the case, let's take it a step further, and with this we'll conclude, because we ran out of time. I'm going to tell you just a glimpse of a pshat, a sneak preview of a pshat, that Bli Neder, in 2 months in a drop, on Purim, by the Seudah, we should be zochet to celebrate it together. B'mishteh ayayin, hopefully it'll be in the Beit Mikdash, but and even then it'll be Purim b'mishteh ayayin, right? Chazal say it won't be batel. But if not, God forbid, somewhere else, in Chutz La'aretz, over here in the shul, or wherever it'll be, we'll sit together b'mishteh ayayin, and we'll do it like we do every year. I'll bring down, hopefully, very great hashpa'ot from Shamayim, to be Moshiach, ourselves and Klal Yisrael. And then I'll elaborate, if in my drunkenness, I remember a long darash on this pshat. You know, I'm poor and I'm drunk, so I can get away with starting to speak and never stopping, because they could just say he's drunk. On a regular day, I can't get away with that. But I'm giving you a sneak preview. 2 months ahead. Normally, it would be a month ahead, but now we have an extra darash. So 2 months ahead, you're getting a sneak preview. You're getting a, listen to a sneak preview on this one. When Haman goes to Achashverosh, you know what, before the sneak preview, you deserve a story. Unbelievable story from Chaim Kanievsky. It's not a joke, this is serious stuff. Rav Wiesman, he's a rabbi in a yeshiva, a Sephardic yeshiva in Bnei Brak called Birkat Ephraim, very prestigious yeshiva. Rav Shiva is a Bitzal Pinchasi, Hashem Yishmei V'chayo. He was here in America collecting money in the past 10 days or so. So he said over from Rav Chaim, he's very close to Rav Chaim. He said over from Rav Chaim an amazing story. One day they came into Rav Chaim, and they gave him a name of a person who was critically ill. And they asked Reb Chaim to give a bracha for refuah shlema for this person. And the name that they gave, I don't remember. He said the exact name. I don't remember. I'm going to make it up on the spot. Moshe ben Sarah. Whatever. I just made up a name. That wasn't the name. So Reb Chaim said he can't give a bracha only if the guy changes his name. Normally, Reb Chaim changes people's names when they're not a name from the Torah. But this was a name from Tanakh. that Reb Chaim always tells people to change too. But okay, Reb Chaim, you don't mess around with. So they asked him, okay, so what should he change his name to? So he said he should change his name to Achashverosh. Hazid, the guy's dying. You're going to go to shul, change his name to Achashverosh? How do you even break him that news? So the people didn't feel comfortable. So they said, Arav, Achashverosh, lo matim, you know, it's that. So he said, okay, if he doesn't want that, then he's also willing one other name, Haman. He should pick which one, either Achashverosh or Haman, he should pick which one he wants to do, and he should change his name to that, and then he's willing to give him a blessing. The people left without a blessing, and never told the man what happened by Reb Chaim. They lied to him, they said Reb Chaim gave him a blessing, but they were scared to tell him such a thing. But the Bnei Abayit by Reb Chaim were bothered for a few weeks. What's going on? Reb Chaim never said such a thing in his life. It's the weirdest thing in the world. What is this? The day he passed away, which was about 10 days ago from what I understand, he told his two children, and one of the two children was a son that went to get this blessing from Reb Chaim. I want to tell you something that's a secret that was hidden with me my whole life. I was a goy. And when I got engaged, I promised your mother I'm converting to Judaism. And I lied there that I went and converted to Judaism. In reality, I never did it. Now, it doesn't affect you because your mother was Jewish, so you're Jews. But I felt the need to tell you the truth before I die. You hear a story of Ruach HaKodesh Rav Chaim? Should change his name to Haman or to Achashverosh. Reb Chaim was scared that he wouldn't tell people. He wanted people to realize this guy's a goy, he's not a Jew. And he did it in a hidden way. It's a wild story, no? Anyway, so you got a good story. It was worth coming tonight. But now let's finish up. Haman goes to Achashverosh, they cut a deal, we're killing out the Jews, right? The punchline is, Mordechai is crying over this. Esther hears that Mordechai is crying over this, and he's fasting and whatever, and he doesn't want to take his sack off of him. He doesn't want this. He doesn't want that. And what does it say? It says an unbelievable thing. Esther sends a messenger. Chazal talk about who the messenger was. Could be it was even Eliyahu Navi, but she sends a messenger. And in the pasuk it doesn't say that, but you look in the Gemara and that and others. There's a discussion exactly who this person was. And she told the messenger to ask Mordechai, Al maze ve al maze. Chazal learned out of that maybe Am Yisrael went and betrayed the Luchot that it says, Mizeu Mizeim Ktuvim. Maybe it's the reason why there's this decree is because the Jewish nation went against the Torah. That's the simple thing that it says in Chazal. If you look in the Mechilta, it says more than that. It says, Esther said, Go to the messenger, go to Mordechai and ask him, Al mazeh, where does the Satan have this power from now? Is it on the zeh of the sin of Ben Adam l'chaveiro, of the zeh that we explain? Or is it the other zeh, which Blina the one day will explain, of Cheta Egil? Which zeh is it? Is it a sin of Ruch Ben Adam l'makom, or is it a sin of Ben Adam l'chaveiro? And Mordechai answered back that it was a sin of Ben Adam Chaveiro. Yeshno Am Echad Mefuzar Mefurat Ben Amim. They have no unity. So right away, what was the answer? Lech Kenosit Kol Hayudim. Go get the Jews to get along with each other, and the decree will go away. And that's what happened. Im Kenim Advarim, we end off with a priceless pshat. A priceless pshat. How do we start the Pesukim when we quote it from the beginning of the parasha? And what do we ask? Look, listen to the pshat. And this pshat is mashma in the Aruch Chaim HaKadosh. It's not exact, but similar, mashma. Yaakov Avinu wanted to be buried in Israel. What was his goal? Just not to be in Egypt and to be buried in Israel. Because I'll say the reasons why, but either Chibut HaKever, Rashi brings down either Chibut HaKever or other things, but one way or the other, he wanted to be in Israel. That was his only goal. So if that was his only goal, he went to his son to get it done. One job, one person, one task, get it done, and it got done beautifully, and simple, case closed. Yosef HaTzadik's on his deathbed. And Yosef says, wait a second, the Jews have an issue. They sold me. And now that they sold me, this is going to come back to haunt them. I got to give them away at least to reducing the repercussions that they're going to have throughout Jewish history. So let me see what I could do for them. Comes Yosef HaTzadik and tells Am Yisrael, Pakod yifkod Elokim etchem v'alitem et atzmotai mizeh itchem. And he doesn't go to his son. He goes to the whole Bnei Yisrael, because the whole Bnei Yisrael had representatives in Mechirat Yosef. He said, I want to give you a tikkun for the entire sin that you did when you did Mechirat Yosef. And that's why all of you should be involved in it. This is what he gave them. Part B, he also gave them another thing. He said, where was I when they told me Mizeh, at least that's what it's mashma, not exist, more or less from the psukim, in the area of Shechem. Where's Yosef, Keve Yosef HaTzadik? Yemach Shemam of the terrorists, we can't go there any safely these days. Hashem should make them all fly away quickly. But we should be zochet to see Yosef B'tchiyat HaMetim Mekarov. But he's buried in Shechem. Yosef told him, go bring me back to the Mizeh, to the Shechem, to the Ish that told me they left Mizeh. And like this, there'll be a tikkun for the chet. And so later on, when the Satan tries to use this chet against you, you'll at least have some way of saying, we tried to do tshuva and we tried to rectify things over time, and we were able to somehow correct things. If that's the case, that means the main reason why there's a gzeira of Bezeat Apecha Tochal Lachem that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave Adam HaRishon that unfortunately we all live through every day is because primarily two reasons. One, Bein Adam LaChavero. Two, Bein Adam LaMakom. But specifically, what we learn in this week's parasha, Bein Adam LaChavero, that people aren't helpful to each other and honest with each other and supportive of each other in business and in other ventures. And on the flip side, on the Bein Adam LaMakom part, that I cut a good deal today. I had a closing today. I opened this business today. I. Everything's I. I did nothing. If Hashem wanted, you could have been in a hospital bed today. My Rebbe today is telling me he had one of the happiest days that he had in a long time. I was so excited to hear. I thought, who knows what? He was able to drink for the first time in 9 weeks a few ounces of water. That's how quickly God can take I away. You could be here in the world, but one thing goes wrong in health and boom, everything's gone. All your businesses and all your hot air and it's all gone. Hashem gave me siyata dishmaya, today I made a good deal. Hashem gave me siyata dishmaya, today I thought of a good business idea. Opened another store, or sold another this, or got a raise, or whatever, each one in his area in life. That's the zeh of the Bein Adam LaMakom. If we take those two things to heart, that to do Bein Adam LaChavero when it comes to business, and to do Bein Adam LaMakom when it comes to business, so then for sure we have the bracha that HaKadosh Baruch Hu sends us the man close to home in an easy way, benachat, b'simcha, b'oshu, v'osher, and it will be an osher ha'shamu l'ba'alav l'tovato, and not chas shalom l'ra'ato, like the Pasuk says. It'll make us grow to do more mitzvot Torah and chesed, and we should always see each other b'smachot, b'meira, amen v'amen.